Those of you that were here for prayer meeting a couple of 3 weeks ago know that I spoke from this passage of Scripture on prayer meeting night a couple weeks ago. But I want to come back to it tonight and look at it from a little bit different way. When I spoke on Wednesday night from this passage, as Brother Laurel was going out, he said, "You know, Pastor, did you ever stop and think, you talked about those people that got in those other little ships and they didn't make it?" And by the way, I'm gonna present that same truth tonight. But he pointed out to me something that I never thought about before. They made it the next day. They got in their ships after the storm and they made it the next day. He said, "You know, that speaks to their persistence. They didn't give up. When the storm came, they may have had to turn back because they didn't have the right captain. But the next day when the storm let up, they got right back in their ships and they came to where Jesus was." And I've been thinking about that since then. And one of these days I'll come back and I'll preach from this passage on their persistence, about how sometimes when the storms of life come, we do stop. We do sometimes turn back. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we just need to keep on keeping on and get to where Jesus wants us to be. And if it takes us 2 or 3 times to get there, it's better to get there than not get there. Amen? And so I appreciated that insight into that passage of Scripture. But tonight, I just want to point out to you the two groups of people that were in this story. They were similar in some ways, but made a different choice. And the choice determined the outcome of their journey, at least that particular day. And I would remind you that tomorrow you will make choices, and Tuesday you will make choices, and Wednesday you will make choices. We make choices every day that affects our voyage in life, so to speak, for that particular day. And so tonight, I just want to look at 5 things about these two groups of people and encourage you to be like one of those that got on the boat with Jesus. They got on the same ship that he did. But let me I'll make 5 simple statements tonight about these two groups of people. Number one, they all wanted to be with Jesus. At the end of the day, Jesus said, "Let's pass over to the other side." He said, "Hey, I'm going to go to the other side." And I think he invited those that were with him to go. I don't know. I mean, I know that he sent the disciples on ahead and told them to get into the ship. And I know from reading this passage that there were other people that got in other little ships and went with him. And they had made, so they all made the choice, "I want to go where Jesus is." He says, "I'm going to the other side." Well, then I want to go to the other side because I want to be where Jesus is. If he's leaving, I'm leaving. If he's going to the other side, I'm going to the other side. And that desire to follow him, that desire to be with him, comes from that part of us that God put into every single one, every single person. That desire comes from that part of us that wants and demands and craves that relationship with God. You see, every single person was made with that desire. Every single person was designed by God to want a relationship with him, to want to be with him. And that's what we ought to nurture in our life, to want to be with Jesus, to want to be in God's presence, to want to give the Holy Spirit freedom in our life so that we can feel his presence, understand his guidance, feel his comfort, his encouragement. I mean, he's there to give us whatever we need, whatever comes up in our life, and we just need to cleanse ourselves from all the things that get in the way of knowing that the Holy Spirit indwells us and wants to work in us and have a desire to be with him. You remember the incident when God was leading through Moses his people to the promised land. And Moses was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. And he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights, and he had left Aaron in charge. And the people got discouraged because he stayed gone so long. And they said, they came to Aaron and said, Aaron, we don't know what's become of Moses. You need to make us some gods. And we know what Aaron did. He said, okay, give me all your gold. And he took an engraving tool and made a calf. When Moses came down and saw it, the story that he gave Moses was, well, I just took all this gold and threw it into fire and out popped this calf. That's about as stupid as believing in evolution. That's about as stupid as believing in the Big Bang Theory. I mean, it was God that created this world and everything in it. And by the way, I believe he did it in 6 days, just like the first chapter of Genesis says. I don't believe we came about as a result of a Big Bang. I don't believe that I'm a descendant from a monkey, although sometimes there are people that make disparaging comments that make me want to think that way. But no, I was designed and made by God just like every single one of you were. And so Moses was up on the mountain. The people got discouraged. Said, make us gods. And Aaron made that calf. And Moses came down and ground it up and threw the granules in the water and made them drink that bitter water. And God said to Moses, he said, hey, now you guys go ahead and go on to the promised land. If I go with you, the people will sin again and I'll just destroy them. I'll send an angel to lead you, but I'm not going to go. And Moses made a statement that all of us need to heed, and all of us need to follow the example that he gave us. Moses said, God, if you're not going, we're not either. If you're not going to go with us to the promised land, if you're not going to lead us to that place that you've prepared for us, if you're not going to be there, we don't want to go either. Because it's not the promised land that we want, it's your presence that we want. Without your presence in the promised land would be worth nothing. Yeah, we know it's a land that flows with milk and honey where the grapes of Eshcol grow, and you've described it to us, and it's a wonderful place. But if you're not going to be there, then we don't want to go. I'll tell you what, if God told me that he wasn't going to be in heaven, I wouldn't want to go. Heaven is the golden street, and there's no pain and no tears and no goodbyes. But the thing that makes heaven heaven is that God is there. And if God's not going to be there, I don't want to go. I want to be with God. Thank, praise his name, he is going to be there. And praise his name, one day we'll get to go and be with him. And praise his name, we'll get to walk that golden street, and he'll dry away all our tears, and there will be no more pain. I think about some of these folks that have died, their bodies racked with pain, and they just suffer. And they take their last breath, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and they walk into heaven pain-free with a new body. And that must be a wonderful thing. It must be a wonderful thing to be in heaven and never have to say goodbye to anybody. I know I was counting the other day the number of widows that we have in our church, and all of them have had to said goodbye to their husbands, the ones that they loved, and every single one of them. I'll just tell you, they never get over it. They never do. And I think God made us that way. We never get over somebody that we love that leaves us and goes to heaven. They never get over. And it's going to be a wonderful thing for them to be reunited in heaven. And again, I know they won't be husband and wife like they are down here, but they'll be reunited. We'll be reunited with our loved ones. And that'll be a wonderful thing. It'll be a wonderful thing when we get to sit down at the table in heaven and not have to worry about cholesterol. And not have to worry about calories. And not have to worry about whether what we're eating is good for us or not. It'll be a wonderful thing just to be able to partake of the blessings of God. But I'll tell you what, the most wonderful thing about heaven is not being reunited with those that we love. The most wonderful thing about heaven is not having all the pain gone from our bodies that we suffered on this earth. The most wonderful thing in heaven is not the golden street. And is not the blessings and the table that we'll sit down at. The most wonderful thing about heaven is the presence of God. Amen. And one of these days we'll get to walk into his presence. Every single one of us, again, every single one of us was created with a desire to have fellowship with him, to have a relationship with our Creator. And people down through the ages have tried to fill that desire in their life with the things that the world has to offer. And they always come up empty. They always come up thirsty. That desire is not satisfied by the things of the world. The only thing that will satisfy that desire and longing that we have for God is God. Is God. So both groups of these people all wanted to be with Jesus. Every single one of us should want the same thing. Every single one of us should want more of the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us should want Him more active in our life. Every single one of us should want to feel His presence more than we do and know that He is with us every moment of every day. They had a desire to be with God. Number two, here's the difference. They got on different boats. They got on different boats. 12 of them got on the boat with Jesus. All the rest of them got on other boats. And the Bible says, and there were also with him other little ships. All wanted to be with him. All wanted to go where he was going. They made a choice. Some said, we're going to get on the same boat that he's on. Others said, I'm going to go with him, but I'm going to try one of these other little ships. I want to remind you tonight that the other little ships won't get you where you need to go. The other little ships. It's wonderful that you have a desire. It's wonderful that you want to go where he wants to go. But if you think that you can get there some other way than getting on the boat that Jesus is on, you are mistaken. The only thing that will work, the only way that will work is him. He said, Peter. Peter or John, I don't know which one, but in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What he was saying was, there's no other way. The only way that you're going to get to heaven is to come through Jesus. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you think that you can come up with some other way to get where God is, to get where God wants you to be, other than coming His way, you are mistaken. And that truth not only applies to salvation, but it applies to our life as well. If you think that you can get where God wants you to be in your Christian life with your own devices, with your own plan, you're making a mistake. The only way that you can get to where God wants you to be and to do what God wants you to do and to serve like He wants you to serve is to do it His way. Now, we understand that for heaven. Those of us that are here tonight that are Christians, we understand that for heaven. Why can't we understand that as we live our life? Why do we have to think we have a better idea than God does to get to where He wants us to be? Why can't we just come the way that He leads us in? Why can't we just follow Him? Why can't we just get on the ship with Him and walk in the way that He wants us to walk? Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, was talking about people that wanted to do things their own way. And here's what He said. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, they hear the sayings of God and decide, well, I got a better idea. They're like Ford. I got a better idea. I know I'm dating myself. Some of you young folks don't even remember that. Never mind. But got a better idea. God says, hey, here's my sayings. I'm telling you how to get there. But he says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We sing that song, and we get to that part where the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the floods came up, and the house on the sand went splat. Great was the fall of it. Go ahead. You got a better idea than God does? Go ahead. Try it out. Go ahead. Go down the path that he doesn't want you to go down. Do it in the way that he doesn't want you to do it. Great will be your ruin. Only a fool says there is no God. Now, we may be saved on our way to heaven, but we can still be foolish. We can ignore the principles that God gives us in this book. We can ignore the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We can ignore the way that he wants us to go. And we'll be fools. A wise man will hear and do. Hear and do. Hear and do. Hear and do. And when the storms come, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, as they will, the house on the rock stood firm. Stood firm. So, they all wanted to be with Jesus. They got on different boats. Number three, the storms came. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. The disciples, who some of which were seasoned seamen, thought they were going to die. I mean, Peter and Andrew, James and John, all fishermen, all had been on this sea in the middle of storms. And the Bible says Jesus was in the back of the ship asleep. Here comes this great big storm. The winds blew, the waves beat into the ship. The Bible says the ship was almost full. I mean, it was sinking. It was sinking. And they come to Jesus and they wake him up and they say, "Master, don't you care that we're about to perish? Don't you care we're about to die? Don't you care that the boat's about full of water? It's about to sink and we're all going to go to our death? Don't you care?" I've had three people this week call me and say, "Preacher, I just don't understand why God's doing what he's doing in my life. It seems like he doesn't care. If he really cared, he wouldn't let this thing come into my life." I had a couple that one of the men in our church sort of interacts with, and the man in that couple is fighting cancer. And the guy in our church sent me the last email that they had sent to him, and I wrote back to him a couple weeks ago, try to be an encouragement. Don't know him, never met him, but I just felt when I read the email, they had some questions about heaven and eternity and eternal security and all that, so I wrote back and I said, "Please don't take offense, I'm a total stranger, but when I read your email, I just felt I had to write back to you." And so I got an email from him yesterday afternoon, and to make a long story short, they said, "You know, with the cancer and in the way that we feel, we don't go to church much." And they said, "Would you be our email pastor? Could we just write to you periodically, and would you just, you know, answer our questions and help us understand, maybe if you can, some of the things that we don't understand from the Bible?" And they were very kind. They said, "You know, your note to us, even though we are total strangers, meant more to us than we can possibly tell you." And so I sat right down and wrote right back just within a couple minutes of getting their note and said, "Hey, I'd be honored to be your email pastor. I'll be honored to talk to you about heaven. I'll be honored to talk to you about why storms come into our lives." Jesus was with his disciples one day, and they came across a blind man. And the disciples asked Jesus the question, "Why is this guy blind? Because of his sin? Because of his parents' sin? Why is he blind?" And Jesus said, "He's not blind because of his sin or for his parents' sin. He's blind so that you can see the glory of God." And God took him and gave him sight. You want to know why storms come into our life? So that we can see that God is able. We sang it tonight. He's able. He's able. He is able. You see, you can't see that very clearly when the sea is calm. You can't see that when you have health and wealth and you're living on the mountaintop. You got food in the freezer and money in the bank and all your kids are turned out good and you know, there's no broken relationships. Just everything in your life is almost perfect. It's hard to see that God is able when everything is so right and so good. It's only when the storms come into life, into our life, and we exhaust all our resources and we don't know what to do, that we turn to God and we see that regardless of the storm, regardless of what comes into our life, He is able. The Israelites saw that in the wilderness over and over and over again. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw it in the fiery furnace. Daniel saw it in the lion's den. There are folks in this church that have lost little babies, and they know that God is able. There are widows in this church, having lost their husbands, know that God is able. There are husbands and wives that are caring for each other, fighting terrible diseases, that know that God is able. We don't know that in the sunshine, but we know it in the storm. He is able. So they all wanted to be with Jesus. They got on different boats. The storms came. And then number four, only those that were on the boat with Jesus made it. Now again, they made it the next day. And I'll preach about that one day, about their persistence. But this particular night, this particular day, the only people that made it through the storm and got to the other side were those that were in the boat with Jesus. See, other little ships are mentioned when he starts out, but none of those other little ships are mentioned when he reached shore on the other side. I want to tell you tonight, Jesus works. This book works. The principles that are in this book, the truths that are in this book work. They work. They work not only when the sun is shining, but they work when the storm comes. They work. Teresa sings that song, The Anchor Holds. The Anchor Holds. One of the favorite songs that she sings that I probably like the most of all the ones she sings is that one, The Anchor Holds. Ship may be battered. The sails may be torn. But the anchor holds. The anchor holds. The anchor holds. Let the wind blow. Let the seas rise up. Let the waves beat into the ship. As long as you're on the same boat that Jesus is on, the anchor holds. The anchor holds. There are scores in this room tonight that can testify to that. They've been through the storms. Some of them are still in them right now. They'll testify. The anchor holds. Get on the boat with Jesus. Why would you get on a different ship? Why would you try it a different way? This works. Been proven. Been proven thousands of years. It works. Why would you come up with your own idea? Why would you try it a different way than God's way? I'm not mad. Some of you are looking at me like, I'm not mad at anybody tonight. I'm preaching. I'm just telling you, this works. This works. Get on the same ship that he's on. And that's my fifth point. Get on board with him. Get on board with him. We want to be with him. Again, I don't want to be any place that he's not. I want to be with him. I want to go where he wants me to go. I want to go where he goes. And the only way I can do that is get on the same ship. Now, to get on that ship, I don't know where the smoke is coming from over here, Adam. I'm about to start talking about hell. But you listen to me. The way you get on that ship is the way we talked about this morning. You realize that you're a sinner. You realize there's a penalty for that sin. and you realize that Jesus paid the price. You ask him to save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll never turn anybody away. You come to him, and he'll take you. So if you're here tonight, and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to do it tonight. Can't think of a better time. There's not a better time. You need to do it tonight. And if you're saved, like most of us are, maybe all of us tonight are saved, why don't we just start living by this book? Why don't we just do what it says? The world's way won't work, but this way works. This way works. Did you ever stop and consider what the word fellowship means? I mean, most of us, when we think about fellowship, we think about eating. Because most of our fellowships, we eat. But that's not what it means. And I'm going to give you a real simple definition tonight. Fellowship means two fellas in the same ship. That's what it means. Two fellas in the same ship. They have fellowship. Now, if we want to have fellowship with God, we need to get in the same ship that he is. And that ship is based on that book. And that ship is based on the cross that Brother Clyde and Frieda and Debbie sang about a moment ago. You see, when I get off that path, there is a cross standing in the way. And I got to walk behind it if I'm going to walk the ways of the world. God puts it there to stop us, to try to get us to realize, hey, my ways are better than the world's ways. Why don't you just do it my way? And why don't we just fellowship with him? Why don't we just get in the same ship that he is and be two fellows in the same ship and enjoy that fellowship? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the truth that's in your word. And I pray if there is somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ, that tonight would be the night they make the decision to receive him. If there's just one tonight that hasn't asked Jesus to save him, I pray, Father, tonight would be the night. Holy Spirit, woo him. Holy Spirit, draw him to the Savior. And then I pray for the many Christians that are here tonight. Help us to realize our ways won't work. The ways of the world won't work. But your ways always work. And so I pray that we'd be hearers and doers of the word. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.